Our next speaker is Dr. Paul Gillespie. He's columnist in international affairs with the leading Southern Irish newspaper, the Irish Times. He is, in fact, its former foreign editor. He's a senior research fellow at the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD, a member of the, hope I get this right, UK group on the Institute of International and European Affairs in Dublin. And he's recently been applying quite a lot of his time to the consideration of the potential implications of a Scottish vote for Ireland. One of his recent publications is Scotland's Vote on Independence, the Implications for Ireland. So, Paul,
if you come forward, thank you. Well, in such a discussion, it's worth saying that my grandfather was from the north of Ireland, Northern Ireland Presbyterian, and moved to Dublin, became a businessman in a furniture firm for the rest of his career. My grandmother's parents were from Scotland. They came to Dublin, came to Ireland, to Kilkenny in the 1850s as estate managers and managed a large estate. So I have the inheritance of this. So these are, in a way, re-triggered in identity terms, in terms of who we are, as somebody mentioned, by this debate. I want to look at it, yes, from a Dublin perspective, from a Republic of Ireland perspective. I've been working on this with other colleagues since the 1990s, looking at where Britain is going in the European setting and what the implications for Ireland are, north and south, for Ireland north and south, of where that goes. But over those years, that question of Britain in Europe has been deeply implicated with the question of Britain's internal constitutional arrangements, in particularly vis-a-vis Scottish independence and Scottish devolution. Now, the perspective on this has become much sharper. We have the vote on Scottish independence. Whichever way it goes, as was being said this morning, particularly by Leslie, the question has changed. It's got become a much deeper question, either because remembering the Home Rule debates, it's, as people said, it's a process which may be prolonged, it may re-erupt until it gets resolved. That's number one. And number two is it's sharpened because of Britain's debate about where it stands in Europe with the likelihood of a referendum in 2017. And I want to think about the implications, just very bullet point-like here, from the Republic's point of view. And I think this throws some light on the question. Now, the way to think about possible futures is to identify scenarios. And we can think about the future in a kind of structured way, providing a framework to address uncertainty and contingency. We can't predict, but we can surely look at possible implications. And in my work, I've done a cross-referencing, if you like, a matrix, which simply looks at what happens if the UK stays in the EU or leaves. And I've cross-referenced that against whether Scotland stays in the UK or leaves. And from that you get four simple scenarios. And I'd just like to summarise those very briefly and indicate what I see to be some of the implications from the Irish point of view. In the first scenario, Scotland stays in the UK and the UK stays in the EU. Now, I'm convinced by the federal argument that was put that in that case, we must be on a road to a much deeper set of devolutions all around, not just in Scotland. And I think the form that takes has to be, I mean, it seems to me a federal form. If that's the case, and if that is worked successfully, we have a different set of arrangements with Ireland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Ireland, the various new parts, emerging parts of the UK. But that can be worked on. The big problem with the federalising UK in the event of a Scottish no and in the event of the UK staying in the EU, is whether the political culture from Westminster can do that. And there are many reasons to think that it's not possible, because of it's a very unitary state for all its union state characteristics. It's increasingly centred in London. You have the differentiation that people talked about between the South East and the rest of England, let alone the differentiation that's emerging within Scotland and Wales, and also in its way with Northern Ireland. And I'd remind you of what Michael Keating, the political scientist, said at the end of his book, published a few years ago, on Scottish independence. He said, "The end of the UK is unlikely to come about from the secession of Scotland, as long as the Scots have other options. It is more likely, stranger to say, to come from the secession of an England that is no longer prepared to pay the political or economic price of union." I think that proposition is still up there for sharp discussion. The second scenario would see Scotland staying part of the UK, but the UK exiting from the EU. This would unsettle the UK again. In my view, it would reopen for Scotland the question of independence. It's not just that the profile of Euroscepticism in Scotland, as somebody said this morning, is rather similar to that in the rest of the UK. It's that the existential question, the way in which European membership would empower either a deeper devolved Scotland or an independent Scotland, is far more important for Scotland, it seems to me, than it is for England. And therefore, this could be used as a way of reopening the question of Scottish independence far quicker than we anticipate. This would, if in the event of this happening, there would be serious border problems in Ireland if the UK leaves the EU, because the EU border would become the Irish border. So you have a lot of unsettlement here, if you like. The third scenario would see Scotland exit from the UK, but the UK stay in the EU. Now, I think if you have the UK minus Scotland, it's arguably less likely that if in a UK referendum on the EU that the UK would stay in. But nonetheless, this is certainly a possibility. This would still be an unsettled state of affairs, because the UK minus Scotland would be less willing, it seems to me, to make the transfers that come to Northern Ireland on the scale that they do. Going back to the federal argument, if you have a federal arrangement with Scotland in it, you're still going to have a much more transparent set of affairs. If you have a federal arrangement, it's going to be more difficult with Scotland not in it. It would be an attempted federation, but the transparency of the arrangements would have to become much more clear. And I think you have to ask the question, how sustainable would the existing transfers to Northern Ireland be in that setting? How willing would London be to make them? And how well prepared is the North for these eventualities going either way? Question for discussion. And the final scenario would see Scotland out of the UK and the UK out of the EU. This is the most radical one. It's not impossible. It may be somewhat the least probable, you might say, but there is the interaction of these logics could well bring it about in a short space of time, in the next 4 or 5 years. This would have to see a major regime change in the British-Irish relationship. The British-Irish relationship now is much more interdependent. It's copper fastened by the Belfast Agreement. It's also increasingly managed through a new bilateral arrangement between the Taoiseach's office in Dublin and number 10 Downing Street, where the Prime Ministers meet annually, the Secretary Generals meet, and there is an attempt to manage this interdependence going through this rather rocky period, but on the basis that relations between Britain and Ireland in all sorts of ways had never been better. And the paradox is that as the Northern Ireland settlement bedded down with power sharing in the north, the arrangements all around, the actual unsettled factor is in the neighbouring island rather than in Ireland, unlike the last the last generation. As I say, scenario four is a radical scenario. And it seems to me it would also put the question of Irish unification on the political agenda much faster than is anticipated by political elites north or south, and this could be one in which all parties, all stakeholders would have to look very clearly at their interests, including unionists in Northern Ireland, because where would they go? Where would be their best home? Is it with Scotland? Is it with a reduced and much weaker remaining UK? Or is it with an Irish federal arrangement, which would have to be negotiated using precedents, of course, from the Scottish negotiation and many other negotiations, or some other kind of way of linking more deeply to the South? I could tell you that, remember, there would have to be a referendum also in the South. This would not necessarily be a very popular thing, particularly if the burden of the financial burden was as it looks. So the whole set of questions arising from this that I'm putting on the agenda arises from these scenarios of change in the UK's internal and external arrangements that are worth discussing and preparing for, irrespective of one's sympathies about Scottish independence. I think they've got much too little attention in Dublin, and I think far too little attention in Northern Ireland. Thank you.